The end of 2017 is near, so let's take a look back at the year that was and look ahead at the year to come. Donald Trump and Paul Ryan got their tax cut package. Does that put them on the winner's list? At the state level, Governor Scott Walker is riding high, or at least higher, and faces a slew of Democratic challengers. How will 2018 shape up for him? And at the local level, Sheriff Clark has moved on, just not to where he had expected. Who had the best year in local politics? It's the shortest day of the year, but we'll pack all of that in today on JS on Politics. Welcome to JS on Politics. I'm your host, Greg Borowski, and I'm joined today by two of our usual suspects here, Dan Bice and Mary Spicuzza. And I'll give you about 2 seconds to grab a notebook because we're going to go through a lot of predictions and winners and losers today, and you want to pull that notebook out about 1 year from now and call these guys up if they didn't get them right. But we're going to start with this segment from Craig Gilbert, our Washington Bureau reporter, where he gives us his winner and losers from the past year.
So my winner of the year is Donald Trump. He's the president. He's made great conservative strides on judges. He just got a big tax cut passed, his first signature legislative achievement, and he's having a pretty profound impact on the federal government through the executive branch. So my loser is also Donald Trump, because despite a positive economy, he hasn't really translated rising consumer confidence into better approval ratings. In fact, he's still languishing in the 30s, and that's not a good place to be. He just hasn't added anything to the coalition that elected him, and that was a fragile coalition to begin with because a lot of the people that voted for him had big qualms about him. So my prediction for 2018 is that next year is likely to be Paul Ryan's last year as Speaker. And the reason I say that is because in order for Paul Ryan to be the Speaker in 2019, several things have to happen. He has to run. He has to win. Republicans have to retain their majority, and his Republican colleagues have to reelect him as Speaker. All four of those things have to happen. But any number of scenarios exist for his speakership to end. One of them is if he wins and his party wins the House and retains its majority, but he's not reelected Speaker. Another is if he wins his reelection, but loses the Republicans lose control of the House, and then he's no longer Speaker. Another is if he loses his reelection campaign. And finally, if he doesn't run for reelection, which could be a possibility. I mean, we've heard Paul Ryan speculation about him leaving, and he so far is refusing to say whether he's going to be on the ballot in 2018.
All right, so that was our Washington Bureau Chief Craig Gilbert, who gave all these scenarios for Paul Ryan. Which of those four might you guys choose?
We should step back and say what's going on. Politico wrote the story saying he's seriously thinking about not running again, leaving in 2018. CNN did a story that said that it wasn't that clear and that something he's mulling. Mm-hmm. The most interesting thing is Paul Ryan's staff, his campaign staff, won't say if he's running again, which would be an easy thing to do. Just say, sure, he's running again. And then if he changes his mind, he changes his mind. Mm-hmm. But obviously, I think it's something he's considering right now, not running again for 2018.
Well, say if he doesn't run, and Mary, you've covered that race down there for us before. Mm-hmm. What does it look like? Is that a potential pickup for Democrats down there? Or is there just all hands on deck for Republicans to try to replace him? What would you see?
So Paul Ryan has not had a lot of tough races in the past in that district, but obviously Democrats seem to really be banking on Randy Brice. There's also Kathy Myers who's running, but Brice seems to be the one getting a lot of national attention. A lot of fundraising happening in that way. He's the iron worker, iron stash. There's also Paul Neelan, who's challenging him from the right, who is much more of a Breitbart Bannon Trump conservative, who's had a lot of controversies social media.
I think he's pretty clearly come out as a white nationalist in the last month or so. So yeah, I don't see Neelan being his successor. If Paul Ryan decides not to run, I think you can expect two things. One, that he'll find a successor and anoint a successor. And then two, there'll be a big story in the Janesville Gazette announcing that he's not running again. That's more of his style, not a leaked story to the Politico.
All right. Well, let's take a look at one of the predictions from another one of our reporters, Bill Glauber, who covers the U.S. Senate races and other political events for us.
The winner, Paul Ryan, who achieved his lifelong political dream, getting a huge tax cut bill through Congress. Like it or not, it is an amazing accomplishment for the House Speaker. The loser, Mike Flynn, a stunning fall from grace from national security advisor to pleading guilty to lying to the FBI about contacts with Russia. And my prediction for this year, coming up, the Russia probe, it will continue through 2018, and it will continue to bedevil the Trump presidency.
All right, so let's just, on Bill Glauber's predictions, I think that's got to be the easiest one of all, right? I mean, this probe doesn't just get shut down in the next 8 days, right?
Right. So, yeah, it's going to go into 2018. And Washington Post did a story saying that even though the Trump administration's been telling people that it's going to end at the end of January, that's not going to happen. So, yeah, so that's obviously. So we've got two predictions so far, both of them pretty easy predictions to make.
Yeah. All right, we'll see if we get any tougher ones as we go. But right now what we're going to do with Dan and Mary here, they want us to do something a little different. So we're going to go through some people on the federal level and see if they had a good year, a bad year, or in between. And we're going to start with Dan and Paul Ryan, who we've already been talking about. Good year or bad year?
I think it was a good year. I didn't think it was a great year because they didn't get Obamacare through, and he spent the whole year trying to say whether he agrees or disagrees with whatever Trump said that morning or tweeted that morning. But he did get a major piece of legislation through with the tax overhaul. So, good year.
Well, yeah, this is like a long ambition.
Plus, he hasn't accomplished very much else besides this in his time in charge of the House. So, yeah.
Good year, bad year?
I would say uneven year, ending on a high note, because he, throughout the year, was, besides weighing in on Trump, he was also trying to answer questions about why he couldn't get more done. Republicans are in control of everything. They couldn't seem to repeal Obamacare. They couldn't seem to pass any major legislation packages. And he would say, well, we passed all these things in the House, but if it doesn't get through the Senate, it still doesn't become law. So, but yeah, obviously the tax overhaul is a huge high note, something he's been working on for years. And he's saying he's open to having the elections based on the tax package. I think how it's received he might regret that if Republicans lose a bunch of seats.
Because it's not incredibly popular.
No.
But he's already set up that he wants to deal with in the next year Medicare, Medicaid, and welfare reform in the next year.
Yeah. Well, people won't really know much until they get their returns done the following year, right?
Well, further down the line, because there are some people who will be getting a smaller cut and then end up getting them raised, but that'll be after the 2018. But there will be some changes.
Let's check out another of our southeastern Wisconsin friends, Reince Priebus, former chief of staff.
Rough year?
bad year. You know, he spent 6 or 8 months trying to control the uncontrollable in our president, and he eventually got booted out. From what I understand, he's getting paid pretty good money to give speeches, so maybe not such a bad end of the year for him. But it was a big problem, and the year didn't go well for Reince.
Yeah, but he's back at a law firm now, right?
Michael
Best. Where do we see him turn up again? Does he turn up as a testifying on the Russian probe?
I wouldn't.
He certainly knows what was.
Yeah, he'll end up in that. There has been a little bit of, there have been some people saying that he could run for Paul Ryan's seat. I don't see that happening, though, because, he will have the Russia investigation hanging over his head. Plus, why give up getting $10,000, $20,000 per speech for a job that pays not that much? Right.
Yeah. He had what some consider the second most powerful position in the world, and then you're like one of many in Congress.
Well, you go from being head of the Republican Party, chief of staff to the president, to one of 400 plus members of Congress?
And their mutual friend Robin Voss might be interested in that seat too.
Yeah.
All right. So they'll get together and sort all that
right.
out. Ron Johnson, good year, bad year, in between?
I say in between. I mean, he got the tax bill through. In 2016, his committee was very high profile. Plus, that was happening while he's running for office. Since then, not such a high profile. He's gotten most of his attention nationally by whining about the Obamacare bill and then whining about the tax overhaul bill. And the Obamacare bill never got through. The tax overhaul bill did get through, and he did get a few things put in it as a result. So I would say in the middle.
Yeah, and it's interesting because remember when he was first running for office, his big platform issues were repealing Obamacare and tackling the deficit. Remember all of his PowerPoint plans, and so that's obviously still a work in progress for him, and this tax overhaul does not seem to be heading in the opposite direction.
Yeah, it did seem to undercut one of his major arguments, and he didn't get anything done on Obamacare. So maybe it's a bad year for him.
All right. And Tammy Baldwin, who she'll be more interested in your prediction at this time next year. You're a bad year. But
well, but a lot of things for next year is already being set up. Yeah. The amount of money spent against her already is more than has been spent against all of the other Democrats running next year. But she is raising money, a significant amount of money, and she's doing all that she can to try to combat the TOMA issue, which she expects to be a big thing, and moving to the left on Social Security and other issues like that. So I say in the middle, lots of money being spent against her, but she's doing what she can to prepare for next year's election.
Where do you put Tammy Baldwin?
Same, kind of a mixed year. I think that she can expect a lot of attack ads and a lot of opposition research on her in the coming months leading up to the election, and that she is probably looking forward to a rough year next year of a lot of people going after her.
So do you guys think, I mean, in terms of her political future, is it more dependent on things she has in her control and that she does, or is it, what do people think about Trump? How does Scott Walker do? There's all these other factors.
I mean, I think she is out there trying to make her positions clear and hoping that Donald Trump will continue to be a pretty unpopular president and have a lot of controversies around him, because obviously that can help her heading into this election.
I think if we had a Democratic president right now, it would be almost impossible for her to win. But the fact that Trump is president and the midterm elections almost always go the other way help her a great deal. But, you know, there are other issues that people are going to be concerned about here that have nothing to do with the national debate. You know, we did see in the last Senate race here that the national wave for Trump pretty much defeated Feingold, but Johnson did some things that helped himself too. So I think it's probably mainly going to be what's happening at the national level, but some local things could help. So.
All right. And then let's get one prediction from each of you. It's fair is fair. Those guys to predict something. Mary, what's your prediction on the federal level?
Can I double down on that? I think it's unlikely that we'll have a Speaker Ryan at this time next year, or maybe shortly thereafter.
Okay, so Mary's going on the easier side.
I'll take the Senate race, the Republican side. I'll predict that Leah Vukmir beats Kevin Nicholson in that race. She uses a pattern, uses her standing in the state, and she follows a pattern similar to Scott Walker winning in the Waukesha-Ozaukee, Washington area, and playing even pretty much with Nicholson elsewhere.
All right, well, let's shift things to the state level now, and we're going to go to this tape segment from Jason Stein from our Madison Bureau with his winner, loser, and prediction.
My winner for 2017 is clearly in the Wisconsin State Capitol going to be Foxconn. You know, the Foxconn Technology Group, Taiwanese company, one of the biggest electronics manufacturers in the world, struck a deal with state and local officials in Wisconsin to get up to nearly $4 billion of support from state and local taxpayers to build a flat screen plant in Racine County. You know, the loser this year is going to be state highways and the road builders groups that make them. They had an opportunity going into this budget to finally convince Governor Scott Walker and Republican lawmakers to devote significant new revenue, a gas tax, a vehicle fee, something like that, toward building roads in the state. And, you know, that didn't happen. And obviously with the state being still at a real imbalance between what its long-term spending plans are for roads and its long-term revenues, you know, that's going to be an issue that's going to continue to crop up here in the future years. So for 2018, I think it's very clear that Republicans are going to have an uphill battle. I mean, they have been on a roll in Wisconsin for 7 years now since they took power in the 2010 elections. And, you know, 2018 may not be a catastrophic year for them. They may, you know, with the economy going fairly well, they may get through all right. But it's clearly going to be an uphill battle when you look at what historically has happened when a president's party is in power during the midterms. That's difficult for the president's party. And when the president is, you know, at 40% approval rating or even below that, that makes it doubly difficult. So, you know, look for Republicans to see some growing pains here over the next 12 months.
Okay, so we're way out on the limb again here with the predicting snow in January approach. But let's just talk briefly about that. Republicans, despite everything Jason said, they've also got districts drawn very much to their favor. Do you think they're going to have a tough year next year?
I think whatever happens in the end, they'll still be in control of what's going on at the State House. Whatever happens in the Supreme Court race, they'll still have a majority of the Supreme Court. And they'll have both houses of legislature, at least one house of the legislature. The only toss-up is the governor's race and what's going to happen there, I think.
All right, well, let's talk about the governor. For this past year, we're going to do the same thing, good year, bad year, or in between at the state level. So Dan, Scott Walker.
So last year, Walker was the loser at our federal level, our state level, and our local level. This year, I think it's a very different picture. It's a good year. He's climbed his favorability ratings, climbed throughout the year from being in the 30s to getting close to 50% now. It was 48 in the last Marquette poll. He was able to accomplish, get his budget through. He did get Foxconn through. I think, in general, it was a pretty good year for him.
It did clearly take him a while to get that budget through, and Republicans obviously are not as much on the same page as they used to be, as we could see by all the budget battles that dragged on for months. When did he sign that budget? September?
But I think he accomplished two things. One, he didn't get a tax increase like the Assembly Republicans wanted him to do, and mm-hmm. something that he wanted to avoid.
Right.
Two, he put more money into education. Both of these things were geared for 2018, mm-hmm. and you can expect him to run on those two issues.
Yep.
Yeah, I almost had a good year just by not being at the center of a lot of controversy or problems.
By not running for president
this
year.
He's a little removed from that. People see him as governor again.
Right, and he clearly really stumbled as a presidential candidate, and you could see it in his approval ratings. You could see it where he was just like flip-flopping all over the place on federal issues, and I think being focused on the state level, where he's obviously more comfortable, helped him and his approval rating.
And he is, as you said, more removed than Paul Ryan. Anything that the president says or tweets or whatever, Paul Ryan's asked to respond. That's not so much the case with the governor. We know that he and the president don't have a very good relationship, but I wouldn't be surprised if in the election next year, people in Wisconsin, the Democrats, will try to tie him as closely as they can to Donald Trump.
All right, so Mary, next one on our list is Brad Schimmel. Good year, bad year, in between?
He did some, he had some good initiatives, the Elder Abuse Task Force, but I think his work on the John Doe and that investigation he put out has overshadowed his year. There have been numerous people criticizing it for flaws, and it really seemed like a partisan political document that has raised a lot of questions. So I think that was a rough way for him. And also, the year started with a Daniel Bice story about the spending on the taxpayer spending on his coins, which
he's continued to defend, but you can expect that'll be back
did
next year.
Did you ever
year.
Get that coin you were...
I did not. I asked lots of people, and I asked them for it as well, and they refused to give it to me. Yeah.
Can that be my 2018 prediction, as he finally gets a coin?
I'll finally get the coin.
Good year, bad year for...
I don't think it was a good year for Brad Schimmel. He came across as partisan in a number of different ways, and maybe that helps him, with his Republican base, but... and for the most part, the Attorney General rides the coattails of the governor. But I think it was a worse year for him than it was for the governor.
All right. Let's go with Robin Voss.
Yes, pretty uneven year for him. I would say his budget battle with Walker did not seem to end particularly well for him. He had been floating ideas of toll roads and wanting to do more highway work, and it seemed like Walker shot a lot of his proposals down. So
you could see their relationship most clearly in the text messages between Robin Voss and the governor, where he was very upset that Robin Voss was very upset with the governor for cutting deals with the Senate Republicans, not with his house. So mm-hmm. I think in general, not a very good year for him.
All right, and to the other chamber, Scott Fitzgerald.
I think he's the winner. He's the one who was the deal maker. He was able to get things resolved and to help get a budget through. I think he's quiet, doesn't have a lot to say publicly, but behind the scenes, I think he's a winner.
Right.
Yeah, I think he did better in a lot of those budget battles. It was interesting. He's refusing to do year-end interviews, apparently, and even tweeted that year-end interviews are fake news when Scott Bauer from AP pointed that out. So maybe he's trying to ride the Trump train further into sunset.
Remember, the Trump train was his line.
Right.
But, you know, we don't
chugga,
really...
Chugga.
Yeah, but we don't really think of him as Trump's guy in the state.
No.
But it is interesting that fake news has taken on everything. Because it's like, okay, so if you actually sit down to do a real live interview with a real live reporter, the mere fact of you're doing the interview is the fake news?
Presumably he would be saying true things during that interview, so that wouldn't necessarily be fake news if you do a year-end interview. I'm a little baffled by that one.
But. All right, so let's get a picture from each of you on this one. We had Jason Stein with Republicans, you know, hitting some rougher waters.
Well, I think I'm going to be more specific than he was. I will say Democrats pick up seats in the assembly for the first time in a number of years. I think, in general, in Congress, the Democrats would pick up votes. But I think, the Democrats have had bad year after bad year. And even with the redistricting lines, I do think they get some votes. Not enough to be in a majority, but I do think they pick up votes.
Yeah, well, you saw that in the Virginia race just in the last month.
Right.
Apparently almost took control in one chamber, I believe, and the other one
and then the recount
tied,
yeah, it's yeah, it, so a pretty amazing thing. Yeah. So I think you can see it's not going to go that far, but I do think particularly in the assembly you'll see some seats being picked up there. So
all right, your prediction.
I'm going to predict a tough re-election battle for Walker. I think with everything going on nationally, there is going to be some blowback towards Republicans. The one thing is that Democrats actually have to find a candidate who can
they have
beat
a
him.
Lot of candidates.
Right.
I just heard the qualified
right.
have to,
they
be
have
to beat him. I said they have candidates.
They have a lot of candidates, but they need somebody who can.
Let's predict on this. How many of there are eight major candidates right now, maybe nine if Paul Soglin gets in. How many of those nine or eight get to the starting line, the primary?
I don't know, four or five maybe?
I'll say six. Six is okay. My guess. I think you... I mean, there's some candidates who have very similar profiles.
Right.
I think Evers, Walks, Gronick all have, I mean, there's not much that differentiates them except for Evers being in office. Plus fundraising is going to be very tough. I've heard that not many of them are doing
well. I think they're all going to be competing for some of the same funders, and then Tammy is obviously going to be trying to fundraise on her own, so.
So I guess six. Six of them will go, you said four?
I said four or five. Maybe I'll go five.
Okay. I once covered a mayoral race of 12 candidates, so six would be a blessing for you guys.
Do you remember the Brady Bunch?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we should hope for nine. So there'll be a Brady Bunch again.
All right. So we're going to shift now to the local level. That was my unintended segue there on the okay. mayor's race. We're just going to go with Dan and Mary here because mm-hmm. there are primary people covering some of the local issues.
Okay.
Good year, bad year in between for Tom Barrett. Mary, you go first.
I think he's had a mixed year. The streetcar does not seem to be super popular. He had a really rough budget that he, you know, admitted that he was not a big fan of, and nobody seemed to be a big fan of. There were a ton of amendments, some battles with the Common Council, criticism of him and Chief Flynn. So he didn't have a terrible year, but it was not his greatest year. And
I'm
I think the budget
pull back a little bit and say I think it was a good year for him in terms of his political aspirations.
He's raised
a lot of money.
That's true.
Knocked down a really terrible recall effort, and his only opponent that we see right now is Tony Zelensky. He's got like a 6-1 fundraising edge on him. The budget, true, wasn't the greatest budget, but it wasn't a horrible budget. It's not anything most people are going to remember. The only thing that people will remember that's negative, I think, are the crime issues that still have not been resolved. And the streetcar, though it's not incredibly popular, it's going to be here soon. I mean, they've started working. Anyone who drives around
the first year is free.
And the first year is
free. Driving around town, we'll see what's going on. I mean, it's going to be here pretty soon. Plus, you know, the work on the Bucks arena is going ahead, too. So I think, in general, it was a good year for it.
All right, we're going to try to race through a few more here before we're done. Chris Abley, good year or bad year?
Mixed year for him, too. I think the battles with the county board have... it's kind of starts to seem like a lot of political infighting, but they have blocked things for him, and they tried to eliminate staffers in his office, but I think that the wheel tax fights, it's
Yeah, I agree. Middling.
Not terrible.
He lost the wheel tax fight. He did win Esterbrook Dam.
Right.
He did actually have an impact on that Virginia race. He was the primary contributor to the transgender candidate who ends up winning out there. Mm-hmm. He has spent an enormous amount of money in terms of trying to reshape the county board. So I think a middling sort of year for him, I think.
And Common Council President Ashanti Hamilton.
I'd say mixed, but on the good side. He has a pretty rough task of trying to herd the cats of the 15 members of the Common Council. But he has been able to strike a balance where he has been able to get them together on certain issues, not necessarily leading them and pushing the way, but kind of trying to get people to agree to certain things.
I think it was a good year for Ashanti. He has distanced himself from the South Side coalition that he was formerly associated with.
Which helped him get the president's spot.
Position, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And so I think he's done that. I think he has... he's been a leader, not very loud, but an effective leader of the council. And I think he's quietly putting together, positioning himself to run for mayor when Tom Barrett decides he's not going to run again. I think he mm-hmm. would be the front runner right now for that position.
I'd be surprised if he actually ran against the mayor, but I think when the mayor decides he's not going to run again, I think Ashanti is definitely positioning himself to...
All right, and last but certainly not least, our friend David Clark, former Milwaukee County Sheriff. Good year, bad year.
He went from 2016 being incredibly relevant nationally and having an impact locally to pretty much disappearing in August when he left office and decided to join a super PAC supporting Trump. And I would say it was a bad year for him. He went from being relevant on the local and national scene to being irrelevant on both.
Well, he went in the course of a few weeks in the middle of the year, right, from being a supposed appointee of Donald Trump to his
past.
And then there were the plagiarism questions about his paper that he had to redo portions of it to get his degree.
And putting him on the bad year.
I'm going to say a bad year. Of all of those guys, I would say Barrett, Abley, Hamilton all had a better year than Sheriff Clark.
Media,
so there's that.
There's this huge debate going on right now about this dossier regarding him. And he's written this very, very lengthy response to the thing. I mean, it ended on a very bad note for him, I think.
All right. Well, let's briefly get one prediction from each of you on local political level things. Dan, let's get yours first.
My prediction. I'm trying to remember what my prediction is. I know what your prediction is.
Don't steal mine.
My prediction is that Theo Lipscomb, the head of the county board, will be defeated in next year's election. Okay. I think Chris Abley's been spending. He's already spent hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to defeat him. There's a good candidate running against Theo Lipscomb. I think Lipscomb's popular in his district, but it's going to be a tough race for him.
All right. Mary?
I am going to predict that Chief Flynn will retire in 2018. I think he has been facing a lot of criticism from Common Council members and that he is looking at maybe stepping away, either getting more of a some kind of like association job where he would be more of a figurehead of a group, but I don't see him wanting to stick around and be Milwaukee's police chief for too much longer.
So in summary, we say goodbye to Ryan, goodbye to Flynn, and goodbye to apparently some other Republicans this next year.
Yeah, so it's not a good show for those guys then. Or maybe it is if they're off to retirement and better things. So
they can all say they've had a better year than Sheriff Clark, probably.
That's true. So I had a whole list of other predictions I wanted to get from you guys. College football champion, Super Bowl winner, NCAA champ, World Series, Olympic downhill. But we're unfortunately
out. It's going to be Clemson, Alabama again. I don't know. Go ahead.
Okay, I normally predict the Green Bay Packers to win the Super Bowl, but that would be
they won't predict they won't win. So that's where our show will come to an end, both for today and going forward. We're going to be changing up our format for next year. You'll see more frequent political-related videos and commentary from folks on their stories rather than in our weekly spot. And there'll be some other things down the line that we'll be able to announce and roll out.
Maybe interviews with newsmakers?
Maybe interviews with newsmakers. And we have the possibility of doing some live events, not live in our studio, live in the real world, where people can come and join us. So stay tuned for all of
news?
That. It could be fake news. I don't know. We'll check with Scott Fitzgerald if it is or isn't a year-end fake news thing. We don't know. But thanks for joining us for the last few years as we've done this weekly show. And keep following us at jsonline.com/politics.